And
somewhere we must come to see that we must rise up and stand on our own two feet and say to our white brothers that we are determined to be men. This is what the movement is saying. We are somebody. We are determined to gain our freedom. And we are going to start with ourselves by freeing our own psyche, our own souls. This is where we've got to start first. For you see, in the final analysis, if we are going to be truly free, nobody else can do that for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do that for us. No Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do that for us. If we are going to be truly free, we must reach down into the inner depths of our being and sign with the pen and ink of assertive manhood our own Emancipation Proclamation.
Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to the group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Kennisonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation. Don't let anybody take your manhood. Proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure. High. But I want to get the language right tonight. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
And welcome. Welcome to On the Real Side, October the 27th, 2016. I'm Emmett Abati-Doe. Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. said, if you do not understand white supremacy, racism, what it is and how it works. Everything you understand will only confuse you. My mission is to teach my brothers and sisters how to heal from the consequences of being enslaved. And I'm a river that nurtures both banks. On the Real Side is dedicated to replacing the universal system of white supremacy, racism, white domination, white subjugation, with a universal system of justice. Justice is better than white supremacy. For a comment or question, email DOE, DOE at ontherealside.com or at emmettabatidoe@gmail.com. And that ain't right. No black men working. And no one seems to notice or have a doable, meaningful alternative to a condition that has become chronic and critical. With an exception, I dare to say that the Community Economic Development Plan of 1993 is a plan that could work, would work, if we chose to work it. That's the Community Economic Development Plan of 1993. You can go to ontherealside.com and you can access the plan, or you can go to the edcuinc.com website and familiarize yourself, get acquainted with the concept and the principle of the Community Economic Development Plan of 1993. All of us are not retarded, sleep, or compromised. So today, part two. Of understanding and healing PMIA survivor syndrome. PMIA survivor syndrome. Today, on the Real Side.
For my people, blundering and groping and floundering in the dark of churches and schools and clubs and societies, associations and councils and committees and conventions, distressed and disturbed and deceived and devoured by money-hungry, glory-craving leeches, preyed on by facile force of state and fad and novelty, by false prophet and holy believer. For my people, standing, staring, trying to fashion a better way from confusion, from hypocrisy and misunderstanding, trying to fashion a world that will hold all the people, all the faces, all the Adams and Eves and their countless generations. Let a new earth rise. Let another world be born. Let a bloody peace be written in the sky. Let a second generation full of courage issue forth. Let a people loving freedom come to growth. Let a beauty full of healing and a strength of final clenching be the pulsing in our spirits and our blood. Let the martial songs be written. Let the dirges disappear. Let a race of men now rise and take control.
And let the church say, Amen. What is the meaning of understanding and healing? PMIA survivor syndrome. Again, it is an attempt to put into words, put into usable tools as to what's going on, what's happening to us, what's happening with us. As we struggle and as we grope and as we, like a blind man, knock from pillar to post or like a pinball, what is it? What is it that keeps this going on for now over 100 years? We can't possibly be that retarded. We can't possibly be that bereft of intellect. So something else is operative that, for the most part, we are unconscious of, unaware of. But I think we all know there's something wrong with niggas, but we just can't put our finger on it. Understanding and healing PMIA survivor syndrome is an effort to do just that. First of all, PMIA stands for the people made in America. The direct descendants of those captured and enslaved prisoners of wars, they arrogantly call slaves. And it is a way to identify those descendants because we've been given all kinds of labels, we've been given all kinds of identities, we've even been said that we were immigrants and also refugees. I mean, there's no end to the bullshit, folks. But the problem is that we don't have a clear definition of who we are. We do not have a clear understanding to share with our children, to keep us on point, to keep us on track, to keep us focused toward a solution. And there's a reason for it. Dr. King spoke of it when he said that we must free our own minds, our own psyche, our own souls, because that's part of the consequences of being an enslaved people. Because as Neely Fuller pointed out, if we continue not to understand white supremacy, racism, what it is and how it works, we will continue to remain confused and ineffective in our desire to change things for the better. And part of that process has to be to realize that what we are dealing with as a people, individually and collectively, is a pathology. A pathology that I'm calling survivor syndrome. Now, we hear constantly the trauma experienced by people who have bad things happen to them, who've had a horrible turn of events, who experienced rape or experienced this or experienced the other. And on an individual basis, we're very sympathetic. Also, we've got the repetitive massaging of the so-called Holocaust to ad nauseum, and to get us to understand that what happened to this little group of people for 6 years is justification for them to become the biggest bandits on the planet, the biggest human rights abusers on the planet, to be able to take people's land, to be able to abuse them in such a way that Hitler would be, you know, he could take lessons from the Zionists. But because they constantly feed us with this story, their story, their story of their suffering, for the most part, people have been neutralized in their thinking that, wait a minute, this is something that happened to a very minute number of people. And compared to the great killings in history that the Jews participated in Angola, in Libya, in South Africa, in the Americas, 6 million, if it was 6 million, is a drop in the bucket compared to the loss of life that have amounted to hundreds of millions in the African slave trade alone. But no sympathy, no sensibility, no understanding, no acknowledgement of the trauma of a people who survived that. A people who had their land taken, who had their memories erased, who had their God and their sense of self removed from them, never to be found again. What does that do? What has that done to the human being, to the psyche? But we first have to establish, people, that we are talking about human beings. But you have to also understand that Black people were removed from the community of human beings by that Guinea in Rome that absolved them of any guilt or responsibility for what they were doing to Black people. Because he declared that Black people didn't have any souls. And what was being done to us was not that being done to a human being. And that set in motion the slaughter of hundreds of millions and the death of billions of dreams. Do they want to deal with that? Of course not. But we have to come to terms with that, because we're carrying that trauma, we're carrying the horror and the terror that was systematically instituted, promoted, legalized, that was designed to drive us crazy, to make us crazy. And they have succeeded. For us, we have to begin a process of healing. We have to begin a process of understanding. We have to begin a process of demonstrating profound courage to look at the truth of our situation, to look at what was done to us, to look at the wounds, to look at the healing that we must undergo, the process that we must undergo in order to do two things. One, to become whole again. Salvation comes from the Greek word salus, means wholeness. We have to secure and obtain wholeness as human beings, individually and collectively, as a people, because as Dr. King says, we have been oppressed as a group, and we must overcome that oppression as a group. But of course, we're taught and we're encouraged that individualism is the thing, that all you have to do is get rich. Don't worry about the Joneses. Don't worry about what's going on to your neighbor, what's being done to your entire community. Don't worry about that, because everything will be okay once you get rich, which is nonsense. Another illusion, another trick. Because if it didn't work for Michael Jackson, if it didn't work for Whitney Houston, and any number of successful people who had their success taken from them in order to maintain the status quo, then what makes you think that money will be your answer? So we have to appreciate the second thing that we must achieve against all odds. And that is to re-enter the family of human beings. I mean, this is going to take a little, this is going to be a little bit of a problem for a lot of you, but work with me here. I was trying to share with my wife an example that could help better understand what we're dealing with. And that is the willingness and the active engagement of killing things that are not of your species. For example, extermination of rodents, fleas, pests, insects, ants. There is no hesitation. There's no emotional compunction for you to kill and do away with things that you understand are unlike you. And I want you to understand just how sick these people are, just how sick they've been made with this theory, with this philosophy of white supremacy, white domination, white subjugation. That in effect says that what they do to us, they experience as indifferently as you experience stepping on a roach, as you experience swatting a fly, as you experience killing a whole colony of fire ants in your backyard. You have to begin to understand and to suspect that the reason why white folks seem to be numb when innocent people are murdered, when children die unnecessarily, or even die because of something that could be corrected. The millions of children at risk today because of unsanitary drinking water, unsanitary living environment. And folks, you have to understand another thing, that longevity and the quality of human life has nothing to do with technology and absolutely nothing to do with what is called modern medicine. What is owed, what human beings owe to a higher quality of life and healthfulness is due to nutrition and clean water. Access to food, nutritious food, and clean water, the body, the human body, becomes almost an impregnable fortress. And barring trauma, injury, etc., individually, human beings can have and are having a better life. But we're told that we owe this to technology. We're told that we owe this to medicine. When it's another lie. I mean, this society, this culture is a lie itself. Lying is normal. I mean, it's just what they do. They wouldn't know the truth if it was sitting in their face, because the lies have layered over the truth so many times. It's as thick as the floor in the dungeons of our Mina and the other slave castles where our people were held for months in their own excrement, until they were shipped off to experience additional unimaginable trauma. So when folks say any black man that's not paranoid is sick, that has merit. Any black person who's healthy, based on the conditions that we've been subjected to in the past and present, ought to be crazy. And it's my hope that we will learn that healing the madness is by embracing the madness and not denying it and not trying to pretend how healthy we are and how sane we are and how American we are and how middle class we are and how wealthy we are, and, you know, with our dogs and our bling bling and our Benz and our folks. Once we understand, once we acknowledge how messed up they have made us, that is the first step toward healing and wholeness. In recovery programs, that is an industry in and of itself, the first step is to acknowledge the problem. And it's not our fault. It's not our fault. But it is our problem. And no one is going to solve this problem for us but us, because it's not in their interest to allow it or to do it. So we're going to have to do something that's really is going to take a miracle. We're faced with the challenges of achieving and addressing conditions that are in place by academics, by physicians, by jurists, and by thugs and killers like knights in shining armor. They don't have the armor anymore. They have Kevlar vests, but they serve the same function. They do the same dirty work. And we have to deal with all of this at the same time we get our own act together. I mean, this is amazing. But let me assure you that if it's possible, if it can be done, we're the people to do it. We are the people who have for hundreds of years turned shit into sugar. We are the people that have used our creative genius for the benefit of others, that has created industries that have created unimaginable wealth for those who didn't deserve it. We are here today, not by their permission. We are here today, not at their largesse. We are here today, not because of some streak of kindness or generosity. We are here today because we are the survivors. We are the survivors of the tens of thousands and millions that were eliminated. Hence, understanding and healing PMIA Survivor Syndrome. And although PMIA stands for the people made in America, it can be helpful to say PMIB, the people made in Brazil. PMIC, the people made in Cuba. PMIJ, the people made in Jamaica, et cetera, et cetera. You get the idea? Those who are part of the diaspora are survivors of prisoners of war. And you carry in your DNA the terror, the memory of the hardships, the memory of the bone chilling. Acts of barbarism and bestiality that was done to us, that is being done to us, because we're not human beings in their sight. And we don't act like human beings, because no slave should die a natural death. For those who are attempting to accommodate themselves and to get rich so they can be comfortable in a system that is organized to destroy your seed, like they blatantly murdered Bobby Christina Brown, as they wantonly pursued and murdered Saddam Hussein's offspring, as they pursued and neutralized under pain of death Muammar Gaddafi's offspring. These people are not civilized. There's nothing civil about European so-called civilization, which is a misnomer. For a moment, let me offer some examples as to how crazy we are. And then you need to work with it and convince yourself that this ain't crazy. Today, people talk about Malcolm X and the ballot or the bullet. Today, they talk about Sojourner Truth, Denmark Vesey, and not all the bullshit around Nat Turner. But all of these examples represent failure. They represent a failed attempt, noble though it was. It was a failed attempt. And to have people participate in the illusion of looking back on so-called the civil rights era as if that accomplished something, as if that was a phase and a stage that we have moved beyond, is madness. I can understand why the white folks do it. But if you're PMIA, if you are of African descent, and you get swept up into this nonsense of talking about what happened back then you're crazy too. But you need to know that you're crazy. And once you know that you're crazy and you know that's crazy, that's the beginning of healing. Let me give you an example. Poets talk about the charge of the Light Brigade. Poets talk about the Custard's Last Stand. People talk about Remember the Alamo. People talk about the Irish Rebellion of 1916. People talk about the lost colony. And you pick it, you can come up with your own examples. And they all represent defeats, failures. The French had to deal with the defeat of some of their best generals and the hanging of some of their best officers by the victorious Haitians. God bless their souls. And they were defeated. But their defeat was momentary. Remember the Alamo? Yes, we need to remember the Alamo because it was about bringing slaves into Mexican territory. It had nothing to do with the nonsense that you're fed, that's presented to you as some kind of historical context. No, the Alamo was about slavery. It was about enslaving people, and the Texans wanted to bring their slaves into Mexican territory, and Santa Anna said, "You are welcome to come, but you cannot bring your slaves. You cannot bring the institution, the economic model of slavery into Mexico." That was what the fight was about. But even though that was the truth, young people right now are being given a tour of the Alamo and told that lie. And the French have meted and gotten their pound of flesh from the victory of the Haitian people. And the glory that is the Irish people, a losing rebellion, the losing rebellion of 1916, has resulted in an Irish state, an Irish people, an Irish language. Conversely, you sorry-ass Negroes who want to sell this nonsense about the civil rights era and what was accomplished and what was achieved, please, please offer me a single, meaningful, substantive example that approximates or even comes close to the historical precedents over and over and over again of people who made sacrifices. But the people who they made sacrifices for did not abandon them, did not sell out. The Irish people, the Irish Republicans, did not sell out those who gave their lives in 1916 to strike a blow. Symbolic as it was, they understood that. But freedom, a vision, was in their hearts and in their minds that one day there would be an Irish nation, that one day there would be an Irish flag, that one day there would be an Irish people regarded with respect instead of the contempt of Nina. And Nina was the sign that was on shops, the signs that were posted at factory gates in America that said, "No Irish need apply." And the Irish people can hold their heads high because they did not betray those who made the ultimate sacrifice. And when we talk about Nat Turner, and when we talk about Sojourner Truth, and we talk about Denmark Vesey, and we talk about Dr. King, and when we talk about Malcolm X, we're talking about people who have been betrayed, who have been sold out for 30 pieces of silver or less. And we need to understand this if change is remotely possible. It must begin with understanding and beginning the road, the long, hard journey. And we don't have that much time, folks. We don't have that kind of time to be screwing around with this thing. We ain't talking about a multi-generational process. We're talking about something that's got to get done yesterday. That's what's going on. That's where we are. If we have the courage and the love for our babies, we have the love for our family. We've got to stop this madness and trash all of this new poison pills that are being delivered to us in the form of Birth of a Nation, the State of Jones, and all the rest of that nonsense. And that Book of Eli, I mean, that was so nauseating. But that's what they do. That's what the Jews do. They use people who look like us, just like the Judas goat in the slaughterhouse. Something that's got four legs. And the sheep ain't got enough sense to know, wait a minute, that's a goat, and I'm a sheep. And a Judas goat is trained to get the sheep moving. And then he darts out. And the momentum of the movement pushes the sheep to the slaughter. And that's what black movie stars and these entertainers represent. They're leading our people to the slaughter, the ongoing slaughter for 30 pieces of silver. Understanding and healing PMIA survivor syndrome. Part two. Next week, part three. As this understanding and this conversation evolves, it's my prayer that we will be able to see ourselves in the light of no fault, to see each other in the light of no fault. It's not our fault, folks. It's not our fault. There's no one who has escaped. There's no one who's unscathed. So we can save ourselves a lot of time and energy trying to let the other know that it ain't me. I'm not in that condition. He ain't talking about me. When you're ready to heal, when you're in a place of moving toward wholeness, you'll know. Yes, it is me. It is we, the collective. And Dr. King was right in so many ways. We have been oppressed as a group, and we must overcome that oppression as a group.
How does one begin to tell of the end when somewhere in the middle, truth lies belly up in the gutter, dingy and still, stained with poverty, the type no detergent can get out of nowhere? She said water ran up the street, asked if I had ever seen something you normally only hear about, and now her house is home to nothing and no one except the memories she remembers as she stands atop broken bunk beds and shards the only picture she ever had of her mother and father together. She remembers happy here. Before the rain came, before the flood of filth filled their eyes, circus-like, she said, they think we are fools when really they are the clowns. Step right up. Hurry, hurry. For little or nothing, you can see the best of the worst. First come, first served. This is destruction at its finest. Death has never looked so sweet. And if you give them a treat, I guarantee they'll smile wide. Just hold on tight and watch your purse. We couldn't get rid of all the poor folks. I know. We'll get over this hump. You'll see New Orleans will be a great theme park, even better than Vegas, and certainly Disney. No worries, there's a bunch of developers to assist me. Meanwhile, privatization is taking over public housing, mixed income facility, kick them out by the thousands. Every place we've torn down can look like River Gardens. Wouldn't you prefer that over the old St. Thomas? We want to see our homes rebuilt. Be still. Be patient. It takes time to build these neighborhood associations. Excuse me, healthy, vibrant, sustainable communities. But really, Mr. Developer, what does that mean? It sounds like gentrification shrouded in a pretty language with good intentions. Many say the road to hell is paved with the same. I wonder, what kind of forklift is required to raise our souls from this muck and mire? or what kind of fire must burn to purge our hearts of the heaviness that comes with holding a hope so heavy it hurts.
For On the Real Side, October the 27th, 2016. I'm Emmett Abatido.
And somewhere we must come to see that we must rise up, stand on our own 2 feet and say to our white brothers that we are determined to be men. This is what the movement is saying. We are somebody. We are determined to gain our freedom. And we are going to start with ourselves by freeing our own psyche, our own souls. This is where we've got to start first. For you see, in the final analysis, if we are going to be truly free, nobody else can do that for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do that for us. No Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do that for us. If we are going to be truly free, we must reach down into the inner depths of our being and sign with the pen and ink of assertive manhood, our own Emancipation Proclamation.
I come here tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to the group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Kennisonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation. Let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure. High. But I want to get the language right tonight. I want to get the language so right that everybody